What's up? What's up? Welcome back. Welcome back to our new series, Even If. I'm Scott Matthews. Brian on your right, Mindy on your left, team members, thrilled to get to be a part with you this morning. This morning we begin looking at what God might be doing in your life through this crisis. What is God trying to say to you? What new winds is he trying to bring your direction? That's where we're headed this week and next week. And to do that, we're going to actually look at some biographies of characters that experience isolation in the scriptures. And our first character is Joseph, who was isolated for a long time. Now, last week, we asked the question, how do we replace fear with hope? And we ask that question because a lot of us are fearful right now, and for good reason. I mean, if you think about some of the metrics out there, there's reason to be fearful. So I don't want to downplay that. But how do we move on from there and replace fear with hope? And hope is kind of an undervalued personal belief. But hope actually can change everything. Hope can be the beginning of everything. And so today, what I want to say today is what I said last week, is that the way we replace our fears with hope is by switching. Switching from asking what if to even if. And we've been asking what if for a while, have we not? We've been asking, what if I lose my job? What if I have to terminate someone else just to meet the bottom line? What if I get sick? What if a family member gets sick? And what if I contributed somehow to their sickness? I mean, the guilt associated with that would be very difficult. What if, on a more serious level, what if I run out of toilet paper and there ain't none coming? What am I going to do? And so that's the question we're going to ask, is how do we replace fear with hope? And we say switch from asking what if to even if, and here's the why. Because when you do that, there's hope for better. There is hope for better. And I've experienced this personally as it relates to my relationships. I'm enjoying relationships better than I ever have, and I'm experiencing it in my work. I'm enjoying my work and all the changes, even that we've experienced in the last month. They've been so challenging and so good. And I think those are the two areas that you can really experience better today. Now, our context, great uncertainty. When is this going to lift? We don't know. When are we going to be able to go and be with friends? We don't know. And we're going to be asking when that happens, should I stay or should I go? Those kind of questions. Uncertainty. But there's also great opportunity. And there's opportunity to really lean into our relationships. For example, right now you can attend a birthday party with a drive-by. It's kind of fun. And there's great opportunity in our work. Because in work, we're having to really communicate well, are we not? I mean, we're having to like, hey, let's have a few minutes together, Brian. What's really going on? How you doing? Mindy joined us this week in a team meeting. Great to have you. Can you help us with this? Everything is very quick, and you have to really lean and trust each other in those moments. You're going to learn that there's hope for better in relationships and in work today. And we're going to learn from Genesis. Genesis is the book of beginnings, the book of families. It's the first book of the Bible. Some of you may know it as the Genesis, as the first book of the Law of Moses or the Torah. It's 50 chapters long. We're simply going to go through the last 13 chapters, that's all. And we're going to do so very briefly. And so I want to give you a few bookmarks for where we're headed so you can anticipate some of the narrative that I'm going to reference. So the first bookmark is this. Joseph was loved by his father with great favoritism. Do you have a favorite in your home, Mindy? Joseph was betrayed by his brothers because of this favoritism. He was sold and sent to Egypt. Brian, you were raised in a family of four. Did you ever want to sell a brother? He was falsely accused by his first boss's wife, Potiphar. Because of that false accusation, he was sent to prison for 13 years. That's a long time for social isolation. Then, because he exercised his gifts as a dream interpreter, primarily, a dream interpreter, he could really hear from God, he was brought out of prison and chosen by Pharaoh to manage the distribution of grain. Pharaoh helped hook him up. He got married and had two children. He ended up reconciling with his nine brothers and his father. He never saw that coming, and he led Egypt through a famine. So, how do we replace fear with hope? We switch from asking what if to saying even if, and here's why. Because there's hope for better. Let's take a look. Are you ready? Because I think there's a couple morsels in here that if you will apply personally, you will enjoy the richness of great relationships. You will enjoy being able to go forward no matter what with your work, even in the worst case scenarios. Because if Joseph can experience better, you can experience better. No question in my mind. So here we go. You ready? Here it is. Genesis chapter 37. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. When Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. When the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph out of the cistern, and they sold him for a mere 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt, far, far away. They were thrilled. Then they had to go and tell their dad what happened. Deceitfully, they told their dad, your youngest son has been mauled by an animal, your second youngest son, rather, and here's blood on his coat to prove it. And Jacob responded like any parent who loses a child. He tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. His sons and daughters, who no doubt knew everything, all his daughters even, came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. I just wonder if any of you in our viewing audience is in a season where you don't want to be comforted. Let me just tell you, the Bible empathizes with that kind of place. He refused to be comforted. No, he said, I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave. Those are real feelings that I think a lot of people may have across our country right now. So his father wept for him. So the question, how do we replace fear with hope? If you're just joining us right now, that's the question we're asking. How do we replace fear with hope? And the answer is you switch from asking what if to saying even if. And the why behind this is because there's hope for better, even if your relationships dramatically change. So look at age 17, Joseph is sold and sent to Egypt. Listen to the relational changes he has to go through. So he leaves the comfort of his family in northern Israel, heads hundreds of miles south to Egypt, and his next friend is a prison warden, okay? Because he's in prison, underground. And what does the Word of God say? The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. And then his next friend, friends, are Pharaoh's officials. While in prison, fast forward 11 more years. Moment of silence here. That's a long season of social isolation. Those of you that are homeschooling your children right now for the first time in your life, praise Jesus. I can confidently say this is not going to be an 11-year season for you. Well, Joseph, in year 11, is caring for some of his inmates who happen to be from Pharaoh's court. They're his officials. You may know them as a cupbearer and a baker. They were in custody with him in his master's house. And Joseph asked them, he's 28-ish right now, why do you look so sad today? He really was growing in his people skills. Joseph was developing a rapport with Pharaoh's household that actually would launch his career 2 years later. Because what this cupbearer and this baker experienced with Joseph is he had a unique gift of dream interpretation. They had dreams, each of them, that were awful. That's why they were sad. Joseph interpreted these dreams correctly. And when they got up to Pharaoh's court, and Pharaoh had a dream that he himself could not interpret, the cupbearer told Pharaoh, hey, there's this guy in prison. He is gifted. And so Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought up from the dungeon. He had to shave and change his clothes, which some of us may all be doing at another level in a month or so. And he was present before Pharaoh. Let me give you a chance to laugh on that one. Go ahead. It can be uncontrollable, your response to my humor. His relationship with Pharaoh really took off. Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paniah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. You know, with a name like Asenath, she was incredible in some way or another. Joseph developed new relationships he never imagined. Relationships with inmates, with a warden, with Pharaoh's household. He gets married. I guess if you're in prison 13 years, you're ready to get married. Another moment for you to laugh. And then he experienced something he never dreamed or imagined. And this is what it was. He would get to see his dad again. Because the dream he interpreted from Pharaoh's dream that he interpreted, foretold that there were going to be 7 years of abundance to be followed by 7 years of scarcity of grain, a famine. And that scarcity would actually bring his family from Canaan, from Shechem, all the way south to Egypt to get grain under Joseph's leadership. And Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face again, and now God has allowed me to see your children too. And I just want to tell you, that's hope for better. In the worst of situations, that's hope for better. And it's not all pie in the sky. Joseph also lost his mother in his absence. His mother, Rachel, passed when they were separated. So it's not all pie in the sky. That had to be just brutal for him. But even if your relationships dramatically change during this crisis, what I want to say is there's hope for better. There's just hope for better. Joseph's new relationships, I've already mentioned, a community of inmates, Pharaoh's household and staff. He got reconciled with his brother, Benjamin, with whom he shared the same mother. He got married to Asenath, and he had two sons. One son was named Manasseh. The other son was named Ephraim. They're uniquely named. Manasseh means the Lord has helped me forget my suffering, and the Lord has helped me forget my father's household. Isn't that interesting? He had such a relational change and wound from his own family. He named his first son in such a way that it reminded him that God had really given him the gift of forgetfulness of some of the hurt when he was a 17-year-old. And then he named his other son Ephraim. It's strange to me why more parents don't name their kids Manasseh and Ephraim. But just kidding, again. But he named his son Ephraim, and here's what Ephraim means. God has made me fruitful during my suffering. There's hope for better. And then finally, his new relationship was with his dad. He got to be reconciled with his dad probably after a 15-year gap, which I just think is awesome. God did this. This is Genesis we're talking about. This isn't Hemingway. This is Genesis. This character is elevated big time. So here's my question to you. All right, if there's hope for better in your relationships, how are you going to move forward into better relationships? How are you going to do it? Because I think you want better relationships, don't you? Even if you're an extreme introvert, you know that this can't last forever. I know your introverts are absolutely loving this season in your life, but this can't go on forever, okay? So wake up. Come out of your room. Shut your computer. All right. How do you do it? You live by faith. You got to realize that you're God's child. You're God's son, you're God's daughter. And he desires to surround you with people who bring you life, who bring you joy. He wants you to enjoy community. Secondly, he wants you to grow as a people person. And I don't know the personality profile of Joseph, but I think it's very interesting that he is described as being empathetic and merciful and compassionate towards Pharaoh's household. He was growing in empathy, and maybe that was an area he needed to grow in. How do you do that? You serve people. You listen to people. You eat with them rather than eat alone. You pray for people. You love them. And I want to give you just an assignment to grow in relationships, to integrate into your life. It's this. Read Proverbs regularly. Just read Proverbs regularly. There's 31 of them. I think there's a maximum of 31 days in a month. Read a proverb a day. And if you don't like reading, play it. And I just think God will really help you learn good skills in growing as a people person. Now, we know even if our relationships dramatically change, and they have, and they will, that there's hope for better. But it's not just our relationships that are dramatically changing. Our work is dramatically changing. Check this gal out. She gets it.
As we dive into today's staff meeting, Karen, why are you late? Like, what could you have possibly been doing? It clearly wasn't your hair, so... Yeah, I can't hear you, Karen. You're on mute. Oh, you're watching Ozark. Right. Well, hey, until Jason Bateman starts paying your mortgage, I'm going to need you to come over here and Google Hangout with the rest of the team. We're sorry to bother you. And hey, Bill, I don't follow you into the bathroom at the office. I don't want to follow you into the bathroom on Zoom. Okay, like you may be on mute, but we can still see. What a bunch of idiots. Like, I would rather be in Joe Exotic's next music video than to be on this staff meeting. I ain't doing it.
Isn't that awesome? I've never seen her, like, for real, but I think she's hilarious. And my wife says she's from Tennessee, so maybe that's why she's so hilarious. Hey, our work is changing, but even if your work dramatically changes, there's hope for better. When the author of Genesis is describing Joseph's work, this is how he describes it. And I hope this is how he would describe your work. Check this out. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. The Lord was with Joseph. And then again, when he is serving with the warden in that underground prison, the author writes that while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Do you see a theme here? The Lord is with Joseph. Wow. There's this experience Joseph has where his suffering is not indicative of God's distance from him, but rather his proximity and nearness to him. Do you need to know that? That if you're going through a tough season, suffering in some way, this is not an indication of God's having distanced himself, isolated himself from you. Jesus would touch anybody. He would touch you today. He's closer to you than he ever has been. But we have to make the decision to draw closer to him. I'll tell you how to do that here in a few minutes. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray, and even if prayer, as it relates to your relationship with God today, I hope you'll be ready for that moment at the end of the message. Joseph continues to excel in his work in this underground prison. And then he is summoned by Pharaoh. As I mentioned earlier, Pharaoh became aware that Joseph had a unique gift of dream interpretation. He called Joseph up out of the prison and gave Joseph his first interview. And he said to Joseph, I understand, Joseph, that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. And this is a pretty big opportunity for Joseph. And his first words bespeak of his incredible humility. He said, "I cannot do it." Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." When's the last time you've been offered a big opportunity and you said, "Can't do it"? I mean, really, you've been in prison, again, 13 years. How many months is that? How many days? What's the food like? "I can't do it." Where do you get that kind of humility? I'll tell you, it's from God's Spirit. Even if your work dramatically changes, there's hope for better. Once Pharaoh had a chance to get to know Joseph and hear Joseph's interpretation of his very dark dream, which again prophesied 7 years of abundance to be followed by 7 years of total scarcity that would ruin the nation. After hearing his interpretation, Pharaoh said to his whole household, check out how Joseph is being welcomed. He asked his whole household, "Can we find anyone like this man in whom is the Spirit of God?" That's powerful, especially in Genesis, that this reference to God's Spirit being in a man. Because we know as Christ followers that Christ's Spirit lives in us, the Holy Spirit, and we're challenged to follow that Spirit in our daily life, to follow the Spirit willingly. Here, Joseph, in prison, in total isolation, is following the Spirit of God, and that Spirit is giving him great success in his work. So even if your work changes, dramatically changes, I'm saying there's hope for better. I totally believe that. So, and here's the, let's look back at his resume. Joseph starts off as dad's favorite ranch hand. It didn't look like he was doing that much, except sporting his robe. That's about it. And maybe delivering cheese and crackers to his brothers. And then he became Potiphar's household manager, to be followed by the warden's operation manager. And then he got moved up to become Pharaoh's prime minister, to be followed by becoming the president of Compassion International, because now, under Pharaoh, he actually was overseeing the distribution of grain, not just to Egypt, but to the surrounding nations. Well, okay, we're not all going to be Joseph, let's just be honest. I mean, frankly, Mindy, you might have a shot. We're not going to be Joseph. But we all have jobs. We all have work. We have work outside of our home and work in our home. Both matter. How are you going to excel in the job you've got right now? What's God's Spirit saying to you today, how you're going to excel in the job you've got right now? As a stay-at-home, as someone maybe who just lost their job recently, you still have work. There's still work to be done. In the home, there's still work to be done in your neighborhood, in your community, for your church. What are you going to do? So let me give you a few next steps. The first how is this: be humble. Be humble. Remember Joseph's words, "I cannot do it, but God can give Pharaoh the answer he's looking for." I can't do it, but God. Be humble. How do you be humble? Well, first, never tell someone you are humble. But use language like "we," the team. Don't self-reference. Be approachable. Be accountable. Be humble. Secondly, be faithful with little. You're given a little. Joseph's given a little as the worker at Potiphar's house. He was faithful with little. This is a universal teaching from Genesis through the first century documents of Jesus' followers, that he who is faithful with little will be entrusted with more. And with that experience of trust is twofold: more responsibility and more happiness. Jesus taught on this. Be faithful with little, you get more responsibility and more happiness. Sometimes, you know, Joseph was given these visions as a very young man, that you're going to be leading and your brothers are going to be bowing down to you. And so the temptation is, hey, start bowing, I'm ready to start leading. And God says, need about 15 to 20 years before you're there. Just be faithful with little. Thirdly, fulfill your contract. You have a contract? I learned this recently from a class I've been attending. It's just important. Fulfill your contract. Do what you said, what you signed you were going to do. Fourthly, set stretch goals. Stretch yourself and the organization. Joseph did this. His, recommendation to Pharaoh was, during the 7 years of abundance, have the nation set aside 20% of grain for reserves. Save. There's a great concept. Save for 7 years, 20%. That way, when those 7 years of scarcity come, we'll have ample grain, and they did, set stretch goals. And then I left this last because I think we tend to kind of like maybe not think this is that important, but I think it's the most important. Give Jesus your first 15 minutes or your best 15 minutes. And here's why. How do we put ourselves in a position where the Spirit of God is with us, protecting us, giving us energy, giving us wisdom, giving us discipline, giving us love? How do we get there? We've got to do what Jesus said, and that is to go into our room or get under our blanket and be with our Heavenly Father daily, and our Father who sees in secret will reward us. We got to give him our first 15. 15 minutes a day with Jesus, your best 15. And what do you do? There's a lot of different templates for what you do. What I like to do is I sit and just listen. And then I say, God, what are you trying to teach me? And then I play some scripture, like Proverbs that I mentioned earlier. And then I say, God, who do you want me to pray for? And he brings people to mind. And I just pray for him right there on the spot. And then I say, God, what are your plans for Melissa and me? And yesterday he said, Hawaii. I ask. We'll see if that's going to happen, but we'll see if he's really been speaking to me. Give Jesus your first 15. So why is it so important to believe that there's hope for better as it relates to dramatic changes with our work? And here's the why. It's so that we can provide for those in need, so that we can honor God by our work and provide for those that may be in need. Even if your relationships and work dramatically change, there's hope for better. And the way we get there is by switching from saying what if to even if. Final thought. Genesis ends in a very unique way. His brothers realize that after their father dies, Israel is his name, after their father dies, and the ceremony and grieving is over, that now Joseph really is the executive of the estate. He's the executive of Egypt. And they're terrified that now Joseph is coming after us. He might kill us all. The guy has lots of authority, lots of swag. And Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me. Right? We do remember that, brothers, right? You meant that for harm. God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of lives. And those lives were being saved because he was providing food and sustenance so people wouldn't die during the famine. Does Joseph remind you of anybody? Both Joseph and our resurrected Lord that we celebrated last week, Jesus. They have a lot in common, but a few clear things they have in common is they were both hated. Both hated. Joseph was hated by his brothers. Jesus was hated by the religious leaders. They were both sold. They were sold. Joseph was sold by his brothers. Jesus was sold by Judas Iscariot. They both suffered. If you read Psalm 105, there's description of Joseph's early imprisonment where he suffered. And Jesus, of course, suffered a barbaric death, the most barbaric way to die on a Roman cross. And they both were conduits of hope and saved people. Joseph saved people of their physical needs. Jesus saved people of their spiritual needs. His death on the cross was a substitutionary death for the death I deserve, so that by looking to him, I experience pardon, forgiveness. My sins are expunged. I have access to God and his Spirit for the first time. And Jesus saves my soul, not just in this life, but in the life to come. Because souls don't die. Jesus saved us on the level that we need the most, our spiritual salvation. Do you have this kind of hope? Do you have this kind of hope for your soul? So, if we're going to replace fear with hope, we're going to have to Stop saying what if and start saying even if. Because there's hope for better. There is hope for better relationships. I mean, we've worked together for, we're at 2 years. I think we're at 15. There's hope for better. That it's going to get better. We're going to enjoy more community together. Secondly, there's hope for better work. We're going to be challenged in our work. More responsibility, more happiness, more joy. Hey, that video we recorded the other day was incredibly fun. Incredibly fun. What's up, what's up? Do you have that kind of hope? Do you have the kind of hope in Jesus that you're saved? I want to lead you in a prayer right now. It's on your screen. It's called an even if prayer. And if you pray this prayer with me, I'd like you to text me and let me know on the banner that'll be below the screen. I'm going to lead you in a prayer right from where you're at. If that's awkward for you, just ask to be excused. Go into another room. Act like you're leaving. You're tired. If you're in the message, whatever. You're angry. Go get away for a second. Move quickly. Here's the prayer. I'm going to lead it and ask you just to follow. And ask you guys to join with me if you would. Here it is. Even if prayer. Lord, even if my relationships and work change, I trust in you for better. Can you pray that prayer right now? I trust in you for better. Help me live by faith and become more Christ-like in how I interact with others. Wouldn't that be awesome? As it relates to your relationships. And now as it relates to your work. And in my work, give me more of your spirit to get my work done and do well so you can be honored through what I do. And finally, if you've never prayed a prayer to believe in Jesus, who died, was buried, and resurrected from the dead for you personally, and you're ready, why not now? This will change everything for you personally. Let me lead you in this moment. And today, for the first time, I believe that Jesus was hated, sold, and suffered on a cross so I can be saved. Today, I want to give my life to Him. Awesome. If you just prayed with me, I'd love to know about it. If you just prayed the even if prayer to say, hey, I made Jesus the leader of my life today. I want to know. Please let me know. I prayed the even if prayer today. And if you prayed it related to relationships or work, I'd love to know. And we'll reply personally. Thanks for being here. Next week, we talk about the isolation, the crises that David went through. And learn that even if is the hope we all need. God bless you. Thanks for being here. Have a great week.